Blog Talk Radio.
When life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes. So write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a balance that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. Broadcasting to you live out of Lexington, Kentucky tonight for episode number 333. That's right, 333. And joining me for tonight's show is the lovely, vivacious, and wonderful Holly Phillippe. Holly, how are you doing tonight?
What's up?
What's up? There you are. Well, I'm glad you're here.
I'm here. I am here.
Daniel's still having phone issues, so unfortunately it's a week-to-week thing, and it's a game-time thing, but still not resolved, evidently, so it's going to be me and you and a wonderful guest tonight, but that's going to be our A-OK, because I am looking forward to tonight's guest.
We're good.
How about you? Yes. And
yes,
we are
very
good.
Much so. This will be a very, very good show.
Yes, I am not worried in the least. And, you know, it's, well, I worry if we have, like, big storms going on, things like that. But thankfully,
yeah, it's calm. It's calm. I was just outside. I just took the trash down, and it is clear.
Yeah, so we're good. It's smooth sailing, hopefully, tonight, knock on wood. It's definitely been a busy week so far. It feels like a condensed sort of week. I've been doing a lot of finishing up on the novel and should have some news on that tomorrow. Definitely been working away on a lot of stuff for the press and blog tours and everything else. And of course, with Imaginarium, which, as you know, is kind of a seven-day-a-week job. It's a lot
it
of
is
stuff.
Now.
And as you guessed, folks, yes, we have another new announcement for Imaginarium. Because it's so many things that are parts of it, but we do have banquet tickets on sale now. So we did release those. We managed to negotiate with all the inflation and food costs going up. You've all seen it in the grocery store. I feared what was going to happen to the price, but we managed to keep it just $2 more than last year. So consider that a miracle. Because definitely the food costs are definitely on the sharp spike upward. So we did keep it just $2 more than last year. So I'm pleased to report that. And tickets are available. And definitely, if you get them, fill out the form to indicate whether you're getting a regular meal or vegetarian or gluten-free options. But last year sold out completely, and they will sell out this year.
Yeah.
So best to get them earlier than later. They will sell out at some point.
Because I won't have them. I won't have any. Yeah.
Yeah, they sold out faster than ever last year, and definitely. And the hotel block will be open up soon for room reservations. That's another thing you should jump on, because the hotel sold out entirely last year, and with things going as they are, it'll be also be something that fills up quicker too this year. So make sure you get that done earlier than later if you want either of those things. And the banquet tickets are open now. So, yeah, and that's for the dinner service at the awards. But, everything is – there's so much that's open right now. We have guest applications. We have film festival entries. We have the expo space. We actually had one of our Star Chamber Show guests that came aboard today as a vendor. Matthew. From the Arthadian anthologies that was on a little ways back on the show. He's definitely a great, great guy out of California. And he's going to be exhibiting in Creative's Alley. We got new people coming in all the time. And right now you can get a discount on everything, film festival entries, your registration for the convention, the event tickets, and then also the expo space. And so I think, yeah, it's just so much that's just opened up. So we will have guests being announced very soon. We've got a lot of guests applied right now, a lot of them, way ahead of even where we were last year in numbers. So we got new faces, a lot of great new faces, a lot of faces you'll recognize. It's really going to be fun. And I think Holly is going to be I think Holly's going to be very, very busy with some of these new guests because she's excited about them.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep, I sure am.
Some good ones.
It's exciting, though. It's exciting. I love new faces, you know. I love our
yeah.
regular faces, you know. But I do love to see some new in the mix. And so does, you know, everyone else, I believe. They bring fresh, mm-hmm. new, you know, prospects to the table.
Yes. And it's definitely going to be that this year. We've got lots of new faces, lots of returning faces, and that you'll recognize. And we'll be unveiling the first wave very shortly. So look for that next week or so, as far as the first wave of guests. Yeah, by the end of September, we're going to have everything rolling full throttle. So definitely keep that. But you have about another week and a half to get those discounts. So don't mess around. Get those. You want expo space or to get event tickets? Do not wait on that. Tonight, also, we want to definitely give a highlight shout out to our awesome sponsors who are bringing you tonight's show, and that would be Sandy Lender, the Genre Blender, and the always wonderful, super creative Ren Garcia, who we are working on. We're giving him a little nudge. He needs to come out to the 10th anniversary so you can see him in person. But I'll go ahead and do a Sandy Lender spot for you, and then we'll shoot over and give you a little bit about Ren with the famous question. But here is Sandy.
The latest release from author Sandy Lender is book 3 of the Fairy Holiday series titled I Know What Your Vampire Did Last Summer. It's a standalone story in the series, but it's got all the fun, humor, horror, and sweet paranormal romance you'd expect of a Lender Blender vampire satire. Come on down to the Naples Hideaway and Marina for a fun and romancy vacay. But watch out for the Grendwolves and the random femme fatale who thinks she's competing for your vampire's attention. Pick up I Know What Your Vampire Did Last Summer by Sandy Lender today.
Thank you so much, Sandy. A great author, a great person. And once you try one of her books, you'll be buying more. I guarantee you that. And now we will go over to our other party that brought you tonight's show, the amazing Ren Garcia, with famous question. And Holly, you can take the first answer when he's done. Here we go.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Go, Holly.
We are indeed weird enough, Mr. Ren Garcia.
Yes, we are. Oh, Ren, he is awesome.
Sorry, I was a little distracted in the chat room. I'm talking to Clay, and Sandy is now back in. She was having some internet issues, but Miss Lender, the Genre Blender, is back in there.
Yeah, poor Sandy's been having some nightmares with internet service down in Florida. So, I hope that's clearing up a bit. Good to see Clayton in there. He's been writing like a machine lately. I've been seeing some of his posts on writing updates, and he is just hitting it hard, and looking forward to new stuff from him. And definitely, chat room is open. Please do join us. It's a good place to hang out and also make comments and questions. I know a lot of listeners that just talk to me after the shows, they don't get in the chat room, which always surprises me a little bit because they listen to the show on a regular basis. But it's really easy, and you don't have to participate. But if you want to make a comment or get us to ask a guest something, it's a good
ask
spot
a question,
to do so. Yeah. And we love it. And we always have some cool regulars like Clayton and Sandy and Tommy B. Smith and Metal Beck Harrison, who should be in here at some point. And Diana Vazorik's been hanging out with us lately from Cottage Core Creations. And, you know, we had a lot of great folks hanging out in the chat room. And hopefully we'll get some people to visit tonight here. We're going to have a great guest, and it's going to be fun. But Holly, do you have any news or updates you want to give real quick before we get our guest on board?
Well, I've already started workshops and some panels. I've never started this early. Man, we have had an overwhelming response already of guests, you know, and all these new faces and some really cool workshops, stuff that we've never covered before, some genre, you know, blending different types of fundamentals of writing workshops that are just kick-ass. They truly are, and I know everybody's going to enjoy them. And we got to ramp it up, right? It's the 5th anniversary. So I've got all kinds of things under my sleeve.
You mean the 10th? You mean the 10th, Holly.
What did I say? I said 10th anniversary.
No, you said 5th, and I got you. It's recorded. You said 5th. It's the 10th.
Oh, no, 10th. No, I think I said 10th, but I'll let you go.
I got you on recording. I can prove it. But, hey, I have a surprise for you, Holly. You won't believe who just called in. I think he did get it fixed.
Mr. Dark?
I don't know. His microphone is on. Is it Daniel Dark or is it not? Hello? Daniel Dark, are you there? 615.
The Dark
one. Your mic is on. It's in the board. It says it's his number. His phone
weird.
His phone is not working again. Oh dear.
Poor Daniel.
He just dropped. He's calling back. Oh God, this is too good. Well, I tell you what. However, our guest just came on deck, so I'm going to go ahead and bring our guest on tonight. It is definitely an honor and a pleasure to have tonight's guest, who is a returning guest in the Star Chamber Show, an absolutely fantastic author of the internationally acclaimed Nathan Perry Mysteries, and she is also a writer of suspense and romance, active member of the Derby Rotten Scoundrels as well. And this is an absolute pleasure for me to bring on tonight with you, the one, the only, Carol Preflatish. There you are, Carol. Your mic is on.
Hi. Hello.
And it is you.
Hello, Carol.
Hello, Carol. I figured you'd play a prank and have your cat call in first.
You get Holly and Steven. You get Holly and Steven tonight.
Oh.
The dark one is still in the mythos.
Possibly Daniel. He just called back. Let's see if his mic works. Daniel, are you with us?
I am with you.
Oh,
there he is.
Yay!
There he is. The dark one.
There he is. You're lucky, Carol. You got all of us now.
Yeah.
First time in a few weeks, because Daniel has gone through an absolute nightmare with his phone service providers and dealt with multiple phone changes, and it's been a week to week thing as to whether he would or would not be on a given show. So tonight you're the winner, Carol. Daniel.
I literally just got my phone working today.
Wow.
Oh, it's been an odyssey. I am glad you're with us. And just in time for Carol. Fantastic. And,
I'm honored.
Yes. And if your cat does want to call in, Carol, we do have extra lines, so I'll keep an eye out. But yes.
My cat is laying on my lap right now. Yeah, my cat's laying on my lap right now.
Yeah. Avid listener of the show, and Carol has photos to prove it. She's posted photos of the cat listening to our show. So that is, we definitely want to give a shout out here. And speaking of cat lovers, Tommy B. Smith just joined us in the chat room. And just in time to hear Daniel, fantastic. And Tommy B. Smith, I have a couple big surprises coming your way. in the next couple days. So I'll leave you with that teaser. But Carol, how have things been going with you? It's good to finally talk with you live again. And, you know, I know, back at Imaginarium, you had a little fall and had to recover from a little leg injury that you incurred. But you've been a busy, busy person. So, I see you getting out and about and doing signings. And how's life been, Carol?
Very good, very good. I have recuperated from my fall. There were no broken bones, just muscle tissue. I'm going to the gym again, so I think I'm back to 100% again. And yes, I have been extremely busy lately.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that you've been hitting the gym hard. That's congratulations on that. That always it makes you feel a little better. I've seen the signings pictures and definitely you got a blog tour coming up here at the beginning of October. That's highlighting the Nathan Perry mysteries. And yeah, several of the stops are reviews, which is great. Going to get some international perspective too. There's a UK reviewer on it too. So we're going to get a good review.
I have a lot of friends over there.
So that'll be really cool. And awesome. Definitely going to be fun. But let's go ahead and give it a little overview, because we probably have some new listeners tonight that are not yet familiar with your work, and just go ahead and give us a little description on your series, and you can go ahead and talk about some of your other work just to get folks a little oriented on it.
Okay, well, I started out writing romantic suspense. I have seven romantic suspense novels that have been published. I got tired of writing romance. I never really read romance. I mostly just read mystery, so I figured why not switch over to mystery. And so about 3 years ago, I switched over and started the Nathan Perry series, which takes place in Massachusetts in a fictional town called Mystic, which is modeled after Salem, Massachusetts. And those books are Homecoming to Murder is the first one, The Coin Collector is the second one, and Witch Hunt is the third one.
Yes, and couldn't be a better theme coming into the fall and the Halloween season, because it has a little bit of a witch hunt. I mean, obviously the title gets you primed for that. But yeah, the book itself kind of gets into that area, and you did a lot of research for it, which we talked a little bit about before, but yeah, you really did dig into some research for this book when it comes to witchcraft, and does play a part of the story. And if you want to comment a little bit on that.
I love researching that. And that's one of the reasons why I chose the location for these books, is because of the lore, the witchcraft history of that. But I didn't, when I came out with the first book, I didn't want to jump right in with the witchcraft or with any of the mystic type and the magic. So I waited to the third book before I brought that in. Any subsequent books that I will be writing in the series, we'll have a little bit of that. It won't be a main theme like Witch Hunt has been, but it'll have a little bit of the magic and witchcraft lore in it.
Nice. Yeah, because it works well. Oh, is that Holly? Somebody cut out there,
I'm here.
I think. Okay, there you are. Okay. I didn't know if Holly was asking a question. Go ahead. I know Holly wants to ask, because she loves witchcraft.
She and I have talked about this.
Yes, me and Carol have had many discussions.
Yeah.
And I'm always up for answering questions or looking up things, for her. And gave her some good resources, that she could refer to. And yeah, we've had some conversations I've actually not got to read the whole book yet, but it is on my pile over here on my other dresser. I'm sitting there looking at it right now. It's there. But
if you're like me, you've got a whole pile of books to read.
Oh, you ain't kidding. They are stacked up there. And then Stephen goes and buys me another one today that come in the mail. And now it's stuck up here, but it's a vampire encyclopedia. So it has like the lore and mythos from all over the world. So yeah, if you need any vampire You know, just come to me, Carol. Do you plan on writing? Go ahead.
I have not delved into vampire. And if the question we're getting ready to ask was, am I going to? Probably not. I think I'll probably just stick with the witchcraft.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask you, if you're going to delve more into, like in your next book, the more of the paranormal, like, you know, well, I know you've got magic, but more in like, you know, creatures, different creatures. Are you going to add any elements of that? Or are you going to stick more to, you know, more like, you know, reality?
Probably more toward reality. I have thought about doing a paranormal involving some ghost hunting, but that's so way out there. I don't know if I'll ever get to it or not.
Yeah, there's a lot of looking up things and, you know, a lot of research. If you're not, not real versed on the subject. It is a lot of research, and it's a very hot topic now. And, you know, if you don't get everything just right, people are like, you know.
That's why I did. That's why I did so much of the research into witchcraft,
right?
Because I didn't want anybody saying, "Well, that's not the way it is."
That's it.
Well, right.
Yeah.
Witchcraft is
very
interesting.
Important.
Yeah, witchcraft is interesting because it's a, you know, human participant area, so you don't have to stray into the depths of speculative fiction to have witchcraft in a mystery story or something, or suspense, like that. You don't have to cross the line too far to do that.
Alternate history and things like that,
Sure.
And mine's contemporary witchcraft.
Right.
It gets you in that area. But there's been some people. I mean, I see it online. I mean, I see people comment with you. But, yeah, you've got some people that really are loving this series. And, tell us a little bit about some of the comments, because, you've been out meeting fans lately.
They're just, very general comments. They love the series. They would ask, where my inspiration came from. Did I model characters after anybody? Not really. I didn't really model them after anybody. My inspiration more or less came from, I'm a big Robert B. Parker fan, the late Robert B. Parker, who wrote the Jesse Stone series. So I kind of got the inspiration from that for writing Nathan Perry.
Nice. Yeah, that's one of the questions I was going to definitely cover. So you're definitely ahead of the game here tonight, Carol.
I have a question.
Okay.
Do you watch like a lot of the the crime shows? Where they talk about serial killers and. Crimes like that where the people have got away with it, or, different shows like that.
Yep, I do. Definitely do.
Okay.
One of the books, it's not in this series, but a book I had been working on during National Novel Writing Month a few years ago was about art theft. And there's a Netflix series about crimes, and one of those was about the art theft in the Gardner Museum in Boston. So I watched that a couple times for research for that book.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Do a lot of YouTube videos.
Yes,
I do too. I love, there's one little girl, Bailey Sarin, and I've showed Daniel a long time ago. I sent him a little clip of her, but he's had so much internet trouble. But and Steve, actually, I got him, we'll watch her, and she's back to doing her regular show. But she has two shows now. One's called Dark History on YouTube, and the other one is Murder, Mystery, and Makeup. And every Monday, she does her makeup, different makeup designs or whatever. You don't have to watch it. You just listen to it. And she tells you about some kind of serial killer, from history.
Cool.
And it's really cool. But, yeah, you can get some really good insight because she delves deep. That's why Stephen likes it, because she don't just tell you stuff that, you can read anywhere or you're going to hear, whatever. No, she delves deep and you learn things. I mean, Bathory, I thought I knew everything about, you know, Elizabeth Bathory, but no, man, I learned some stuff, you know, from watching her episode on that. I thought, well, that's really cool. So there's you another resource.
Yeah, she's entertaining and she gets in the weeds. Yeah, she really does get in the weeds and give you some detail.
The only bad thing about watching those YouTube videos is that you just, you know, it takes you down the rabbit hole and it takes away my writing time.
Yep.
It does.
Yep. That's easy to do.
Does.
Especially
if
you're on a topic you enjoy. Yeah, that's quick to
burn
a few hours. But but you're pretty consistent. I watch you. Yeah, you are a consistent writer. You're one of the good examples of someone that writes regularly. So I don't worry too much about you.
I've been a little slow with my current book, but this last week, or well, like the last couple of weeks, I guess, I've pretty much got back on track and been writing every day.
Nice. And speaking of that current book, tell us what you can, because it is a really cool concept, and I don't want to blurt anything out. I'll give it to you to handle that one.
Okay. Well, my title for it as of right now is Murder in Mystic Hollow, and it's going to be a modern-day retelling of the legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah. That's cool. Holly likes that. I know that.
Yeah, I'm such a fan.
I love the Headless Horseman.
Well, and in this book, there will not be a Headless Horseman, but there will be a motorcycle rider dressed all in black with a black helmet and a dark shield over the helmet. So when you see him or possibly her at night, he looks like he doesn't have a head.
That's cool.
That is awesome.
And instead of Ichabod Crane.
Oh, go ahead.
What? Say it again.
I said it reminds me, like, it's a mixture between the Headless Horseman and Ghost Rider. Do you ever see Nicolas Cage movie Ghost Rider?
I didn't think about that. But yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah,
hope Disney does it soon.
That's cool. Yeah, blending the two. That's going to be really
instead of having Ichabod Crane, I have Isaac Kane. So you know the names. It's going to be similar enough with the names. I think people will understand that it's a retelling of that.
Right. Right, and you won't have to actually know because, like, well, you know, some of these. Younger readers, Z's and some millennials and stuff, may have not ever read the actual Legend of Sleepy Hollow. And so is it a book that would be like a standalone that you don't have to read the Legend of Sleepy Hollow to understand?
Yeah, I think so. That's the way I'm writing it so far. All my books in the series, even though they're in a series, they do kind of flow from one book to the other. I think you could pick up any of them and start right off and get to know all the characters without having to read the beginning.
Yes. Cool. I agree. Yeah, I'm very familiar with these three books. So I can vouch for you on that. That they are, I mean, it is a franchise, a series, and, you know, but it is the kind of thing where, you can read these standalone. You can pick anyone up and get a sense of all the characters without having read the others. It's love those kind of series, and this is one of those. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you want everybody to read all the books, but you can pick up any of them and start right off.
Yeah, and then at the same token, I mean, if you do read them in the order that they have been released, I mean, you certainly can see in a bigger arc with some of the characters, and they take
really
nice steps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you really see the characters develop if you start with the first book and go through to the third as of now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you start to see the ensemble grow too. So yeah. All the folks that are around Nathan, and even some that I've come to love. Some of your supporting cast,
and I know your favorite one.
Yep, I think you could do a spinoff with her. But yes, it's good. Have those strong secondary characters. It makes for a well-rounded story. And you have characters.
And it makes
you care
the book
about.
Fun.
Yeah, it makes
the book fun when you have them.
Yeah, you get to know Mystic, the town. The town is the character, I think, in some ways.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I find myself, like when the second book came and the third book came, I was finding myself like feeling like, oh yeah, I get to revisit Mystic and get to learn a little more about it and see old familiar places in it from the last book or the previous two books and you get that kind of feel as you go through it. It's like returning home. It's cool.
You go back to the same cafe
do you have plans to largely stick in Mystic, Massachusetts, or as far as for the next book or two or three? I mean, are you going to kind of stay with that theme or not?
Yeah, I am. This book will be in Mystic, and then I'm kind of plotting out if I do a fourth or a fifth book, which I'm barring any problems with my writing, I'll probably do a fifth book, and I've already kind of started plotting it out, and it's going to center around the Nathan's on-again, off-again girlfriend, who's the news reporter in town, and it'll center around her.
Great character.
Yeah.
And he's
I got a question about that. Hold on. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, ladies like Nathan. They do. he's definitely attractive to the ladies, and that makes for a nice undercurrent.
He's a playboy in a couple of the books. He's a playboy in a couple of the books.
Well, I was going to ask if you could put any of the side characters in like a novella or a spinoff series, who would you pick other than, the main character, Nathan Perry? Because we always talk about B characters. So who would your B character be that you would choose?
Well, I can tell you Stephen wants it to be Gloria.
Yep. Great character.
She's one of the police officers in the department, and she's, she surprises you sometimes. But, yeah, she would be a good one. She would be a good one.
I think your character, she's taken strides, great strides, and without giving any spoilers away, I mean, she really, as of the third book, I mean, I think she's really coming to her own. And I think readers will really enjoy watching her development over the three books. But that's my take. But, let's hear some more, Carol.
Well, the police chief in the first – and the police chief is the same through all three books. But in the first book, you get to know that the police chief of the department is a real male chauvinist. And he doesn't want any of the female officers to – be on patrol, do any kind of police work. He wants them stuck behind the receptionist desk or working in the radio department. And she kind of busts his balls and does what she can to try to move up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Nathan has a strong respect for her. You can tell that. So, I look forward to seeing.
He is definitely in favor.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I look forward to seeing
in favor
what you
of
do
the
with them.
Females.
Yeah, I look forward to seeing what happens. And Holly would like Gloria a lot. I know that for a fact.
Yeah, you said that before. You told me that before.
Yep. I'm willing to. Mm-hmm. I'd bet money on it. That's how convinced I am.
One of my other favorite secondary characters in the book is Ginger, that owns the cafe in town.
Yes.
And I really like writing about her.
Yeah, she's a really interesting character. But Holly, you would like this because it gets into that northeastern small town kind of atmosphere. And Carol does a really good job.
A lot of there's a lot of series and a lot of books that's been established in that area. There's a lot of legends And it's like, you know, yeah. Appalachia has their own legends and different mythos, you know. It's like that northeastern part of the U.S. It's, you know, the old world, as you say, you know, that it's been here since the forming of the country. You know, we've had different people all over the world come in there to the ports and bring their own religion, their own lore, you know, their own magic and different things. So, yeah, it's an interesting mix of a lot of different things pulled together.
Well, I think that's why it's a good choice for Carol to do a story like Witch Hunt. Not the first book, but where she's got it in the third slot in the series,
mm-hmm.
because of, you know, you have Salem, Massachusetts. You have a lot of witchcraft lore in that state and history.
Right.
And so I think it was a very logical step to bring a theme like that into the series, and a cool one. I mean, yeah, the setting fits beautifully. And but yeah, when you think about that region, I mean, I think it was a great move to have a theme like that, you know, because the others, each one is so distinct. Each book is so distinctive. You know, they got their own atmospheres, but this one, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Those of you that like, the idea of Massachusetts and the fall and witchcraft and all of those things, you're going to love the
yes,
vibe.
Yes. Hey, Carol, you know what I think we push for from a publisher I know, Stephen Zimmer, I think we should push him to you know, let us go up there and maybe do some kind of little book signing or something in a fall, you know, maybe.
I absolutely agree. I've got the bookstore picked out. There's a bookstore in the town of Salem called Wicked Books, and I follow them on Twitter, and I think that's an excellent idea.
I could get this done.
And we can write it off on our taxes.
Yes, you
You're
can.
You're right.
And we can take a little side trip for research.
Hey, a little side trip, Carol, for research purposes. So, you know, it's a tax thing. Research purposes to Salem.
Yeah.
Salem.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's the one perk of being an author is that you can write off so much taxes just because of research and things like that. It's awesome. So, we'll have to look into that. That would be a blast.
You can have fun. You can learn and have fun at the same time. There is nothing wrong with that.
Just photograph everything.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it would be awesome. I've always wanted to go to Salem, trying to get in to go, you know. So, this would be the perfect thing. I keep telling you we need to get a little bus, an SSP bus, and we take these little
bus,
trips.
With our big war chest that we have.
And just take these little trips.
All that money coming in.
Yeah,
I know, right? Well, somebody's got to hit a million somewhere. Eventually, lightning will strike. It's called persistence, Carol. Persistence.
Yeah, but
just keep
right.
Just keep buying.
Well, we could pull it off.
Keep buying those lottery tickets.
Yep.
You know what, Carol?
Yeah,
keep
buying
those
lottery
tickets.
No, there you go.
Oh man, but yeah, that would be cool. But yeah, it's a and when the upcoming blog tour hits. I mean, definitely, folks, follow the activities because you're going to get to explore the book from the perspectives of different reviewers. There'll be, you know, some guest post interviews content. And, yeah, definitely follow that because, yeah, this is a series you want to get into. But you've talked a little bit about the current work in progress, but I do want to give you a chance to talk about anything else that you have going on because, yeah, before this, I mean, you had some wonderful romance novels. And you do write in some other genres, and so I definitely want people to be aware of your other work. So yeah, if you want to give a little spotlight to that.
Well, the last romance that I wrote is called Her Bluegrass Bow. It was published by Hydra Publications, and it takes place just outside of Lexington on a horse ranch.
Nice. I know about that kind of environment.
If I have to go back to think about what happens in those books, a blizzard hits in that book. My tagline is, now I can't remember the tagline. But what it's about is a girl from California inherits her great aunt's farm outside of Lexington, and she wants to come back and visit it one more time before she sells it. And a blizzard hits while she's there, and, you know, she's alone. She's from California. She doesn't know how to live during power outages and several feet of snow. So the kind-hearted, gorgeous, handsome, sexy neighbor comes to her rescue and brings her up to his farm, his ranch, and she stays there with him until it's safe for her to go. And, of course, they fall in love, and she has to decide whether she's going to stay in Kentucky or go back to California. And she actually, I can't tell you all of the ending, but she does go back to California.
Go back to California.
Well, that's a bad decision.
But her going back to California is not the end of the book.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to stay in Kentucky. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But
stay in the book. If you are here, stay here.
Yeah. In terms of choosing projects, because I know a lot of writers, you know, who write in multiple genres, you know, they get to that point where they're, what am I going to do for my next series? What am I going to do for my next book? Which is the right one to choose? What went into your thought process at the point where you had, you know, several romance novels and then you decided to do a mystery series? What kind of factors influenced you to do mystery next? So what were some of the things you cite for that?
Well, all of my romance novels are romantic suspense, so there is always a little bit of mystery written into those books. I think I just enjoyed writing the mystery more than I enjoyed writing the romance, so I wanted to write more of that, so that's why I switched over to the mystery.
Nice. Yeah, and are there any other genres that you're itching to explore alongside, you know, your series? Are there some other genres in particular?
I don't think I want to delve into any other genres. I have a cookbook that I wrote that's funny little stories. I'd like to get into writing short stories, which I just wrote it's not my first short story, but my first short story that's probably going to be published in an anthology. I just wrote it, and it's a sort of a mystery-type anthology. Or a mystery type story.
Nice. That's awesome. And it's always interesting to hear writers talk about what project to pursue next, especially if they are a multi-genre type author.
Yeah.
Are you going to be doing NaNoWriMo? I know you've done it in the past, but are you going to be doing it this year or no?
I don't think so. I did not do it last year. I did it year before last. And I really felt like it ruined me because I did it with Witch Hunt. And I wrote so much in the month of November that I was just sick of it. And I had to push the book away for over a month before I went back to it.
Oh,
and when I
burned out.
It was so bad that I had to more or less just rewrite the – I take that back. It wasn't Witch Hunt. It's the one I'm doing right now. It was so bad I had to start over and rewrite it to fix all the mistakes. And, I mean, we're talking, like, really big timeline errors. And so, yeah, I'd give up on NaNo.
See, that's me. I think if I'm pressured like that, I've never done it. But, I mean, to me, with my ADHD, and I'm unmedicated for it, so I believe if I tried to even attempt that, first off, I would probably get very angry, and Steve would probably not want to stay in the same house with me. I would be very hard to live with, for one thing, because it would really kick that in my OCD, because I'd want everything to be perfect. So I would end up writing, like, you know, four lines and be like, oh my God, I have to hurry. I have to meet this quota. I have to write so many thousands of words.
Gotta get
I want to win.
1,100 words in,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, and then I'd be worried, like, oh, my God, I have to go back because this is screwed up. I don't want it this way. It's not polished. This isn't how I want to write it. And, yeah, I mean, I understand perfectly what you're saying because, it would not work for me. Some people, it's the kick in the ass they need, and it makes them very productive, and that's what works for them. But, yeah, they're not all of us. Stephen has never done it. He don't want to. Because Stephen would be like, it would irritate Stephen. Because, you know, he does write big word counts almost daily, but, I mean, it's on his own watch. You know, nobody is forcing him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
well, all,
that's a difference.
All the books that I have written.
Well, does I still have you there? Is everybody still there?
Yeah.
Daniel?
Oh, there, okay.
There he is.
Think about that nano.
Yeah, about
nano's fine for some people. I don't think it turns out a good piece of work.
Right.
I think it can get you a basic molding of something, but yeah, it definitely is the kind of thing where after you get done, you have to go back and work on it.
Polish.
You know, once you.
Right.
If you're sitting there writing and trying to do, say, 3,000 words a day, and you can't put out the 300 words a day, it stresses you out so much that you want to quit writing over.
Exactly.
Thinking of it as getting in the habit of writing 300 words a day.
Right. Yeah, because we always, you know, we've talked about it, and so have you, Daniel. You know, even if, like Daniel said before, if you write a sentence on a napkin, that's writing. You know, just write a little something every day. That's what we try to stress. Every day, write a little something. I don't care what you're writing. Write a little something, you know, and it'll all come together in the end, eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, because the thing that I would like to put forth is that, you know, with me, I mean, yeah, I do have, you know, some steady days where I get a pretty decent word count, but I'm not shooting for a word count. And so some days, some of my best writing days, I will only get 800, 900 words, maybe 1,000. And I'll walk away from that just feeling great about whatever material I had there. And it's not necessarily a giant word count. And sometimes the days where I crank out, you know, 3,000 or more or something like that, I'll have to go back and rework it a little bit. So yeah, volume is not necessarily, you know, quality.
Quality.
And that's why I don't hold to a word count, because I kind of just make sure that I'm focused on quality rather than just getting a word count.
Quantity.
So that's me. I mean, that's kind of how I approach it. But yeah, the Carol's another one that author that I know from watching her posts. I mean, she's a consistent writer. I mean, she's always, you know, writing, and that's the key. It keeps you in the zone. It keeps your subject.
Well, if I post that I'm writing, then I kind of have to do it too.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, otherwise you'd be lying. So yeah, gives you that.
Well, that's a good segue, Carol, because you are active with writing groups, and I love to say one of your groups because it's just so fun to say it. You know, the Derby Rotten Scoundrels. I love that group.
Yeah.
But tell us about your writing groups, because that's a big part of your world, and I know you get a lot of your feedback and stuff from members of those groups, that's important. So tell us a little about your writing groups.
Yeah, the Derby Rotten Scoundrels is the Louisville, Kentucky chapter of the Sisters in Crime organization, and, you know, Derby, we playing off the Kentucky Derby theme there. We have, I'm not even sure, we probably have at least 20 members. Not all of them show up at the meetings, but we have vote now that the pandemic is over and we're kind of getting back where we can be around people again. We have both in-person meetings, and we also have those meetings on Zoom also, because we have members that are not local to Louisville that can't drive down to Louisville for all the in-person meetings. So we also hold those meetings on Zoom so they can take part in it also. They're just a great bunch of girls, ladies on there that are very supportive and just would do anything for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm amazed at I've gotten to know a little bit about more of the group because, yeah, several of them were at the convention last year. And impressive group. And they're all very very much doing things out there and, having published works. And, it's a very professional group. And that takes it to another level, too, I think, as far as writing.
And we also – right. We also just put out an anthology not too long ago. It's called Mystery with a Splash of Bourbon.
Yes, so, you did. I love that title, too.
I don't have any stories in it. I didn't have anything to do other than helping to come up with the title of it. But I just finished reading it not too long ago, and the stories in it are just fantastic. Every story in it is a mystery, but also has something to do with bourbon. There's a bourbon theme through the whole book, and you will learn so much about bourbon just by reading the book. It's just so good. It is fantastic.
That's a good theme for sure. And on a side note, Carol and I have for years bantered about developing a portable bourbon dispenser to take to book signings and conventions to help us get through the day at events. And one day we're going to do it. Carol and Steven will have an actual Kickstarter, maybe. Get a product out there.
It's called a sippy cup. A sippy cup, George. Yeah. A sippy cup. Carol, let me tell you a secret. You'll see me in Imagineering running around with these sippy cups, I call them. They're adult sippy cups. You know what I'm talking about, with lids. People use them to put coffee, but I don't drink coffee. No, mine's got wine or some other nice beverage in it. And so, sippy cups.
Sippy cups, they're effective.
Through Imaginarium.
You need it some of those days, I tell you.
Yeah.
I can fix you up.
I've got extra sippy cups.
Well, you wait, colleague, because Carol and I are going to make the big bucks with our bourbon dispenser product one day. It's going to be state of the art.
Okay.
You wait.
Well, you know what? If you then we're buying the little bus, and we're going to do these book tours.
Yeah, we'll do that, too. That's how we'll fund
it. We'll have to introduce it at the Books and Booze panel.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah,
it's the Book of Booze bus,
Yeah, those get a little exciting, so I think we may temper that back this year, because those get a little too exciting sometimes.
No more Books and Booze. Those days are done.
Yeah.
Stephen and Nost have been cut off from Books and Bourbon.
Yeah, we're not participating. It was fun, but we've had a little too much fun, but definitely. And speaking of with events and you certainly do events with Derby Rotten Scoundrels. So, like I said, I love it. I want as many opportunities to say that name as possible, but it's just so good. You do events with them. You do events yourself. You go to conventions and signings. Now you've been on some, and I'd love for you to just give a little. Rundown of some of the things you've been doing, but you have a pretty full schedule coming up this fall. So give us a preview the Carol Free Flattish Tour 2023. And do you have T-shirts?
Yeah,
tour T-shirts.
No, I hadn't thought about that. This is probably my busiest season I have ever had for writing or for making appearances. I just gave a talk about Witch Hunt at the Jeffersonville, Indiana Library. They have an author meet and greet every month or so. So I was there in August and talked about Witch Hunt. Had about 10 people show up, 10, 12 people. I was happy to get that many. I mean, I'm a local author that not too many of them, people around here know that I write. And then this month I spoke at the Derby Rotten Scoundrels meeting. I gave a little presentation about being an organized writer, and it's informative, it's educational, but we also had a lot of fun. I always try to make them entertaining when I do any kind of presentations like that. And then next month I've got two signings. One's weather permitting because it's outside, and that's October 14th and 15th in Cordon, Indiana, at the Glass Oberfest, which is at the Zimmerman Art Glass Shop. And
there we
the
go.
28th, 29th. Yeah. The 28th, 29th, and 30th, I will be at Prime Crime in Indianapolis. And that used to be called Magna Cum Murder, and they've renamed it.
Uh-huh.
And that is one of the best mystery writing conferences in the country. I don't know if I'll be doing a signing there, but I will be attending that for sure.
Nice.
Then in
Carol,
November,
yep.
I've got – yes.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say in November, I've got three signings. One, I will be at the PERS in the City. It's arts and crafts type show. It's in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and it benefits it benefits cats. It's like the Humane Society, but the money goes for cats. So, you know, I can't miss that. I live in Jeffersonville. It's about cats. I have a cat. So I kind of got to go to that.
Nice.
And then November 12th, the Louisville Literary Arts is having a workshop in Sellersburg, Indiana. I'll be up there. I'll have a table up there. The 19th or the 20th, I may be at Carmichael's bookstore in Louisville that we're still working on trying to get that set up. And then we go into the holiday season, and December 3rd, I will be at a Barnes & Noble on Hurstbourne Lane in Louisville with the Derby Rotten Scoundrels.
Nice.
And we will be there from 1 to 3, and we will be doing our signings there. And then probably my last signing of the year will be December 10th, and that's a holiday gift show in Marengo, Indiana, which is my home county. I always like going there because I know everybody. I always do really well there. And then we're still trying to – the Derby Rotten Scoundrels are still trying to set up a signing at Joe Beth in Lexington. I think it's in Lexington, right?
Yes. Oh, I hope you
yeah.
do. That's
we're
great.
Yeah. We're trying
setting.
To get something. Yeah, we're working
with you,
on.
Carol. I was gonna say I can help you
well,
with that too, but
yeah,
go ahead.
Well, one of the ladies that's a member is in contact with them, and they're working on trying to get something
okay.
scheduled. Have no idea when
yeah,
it's going to
right
be yet.
Now,
but, you know, I'll let everybody
really
know.
Doing, right now, them and Half Price Books here aren't really doing a lot of in-person. Half Price is like completely not doing any. And I know an author of ours actually got a hold of Joe Beth the other day, and yeah, they're not doing like in-person right now. But I said, I think probably by the end of the year, first of the year, that
mm-hmm.
will change.
Yeah. I do too.
Well,
mm-hmm.
she's in contact with them and trying to get something
okay.
set up.
Well, you
okay.
got no hotel cost in Lexington, Carol. You can always stay in our guest
no,
room.
No, you do not, Carol.
And,
stay with us.
Yeah, we're literally like less than a mile from Joseph Beth.
Be.
I mean, it's in our backyard,
oh,
practically.
Wow.
So, yeah, we can you can almost
yeah,
walk
we're,
there.
Yeah, we're
but,
just right down the road, and
yeah,
we've got the
yeah.
whole downstairs.
Cool.
You'll have your own living room and bathroom and whatever, and
yeah.
I'll put you
I'll just,
something good to eat.
I'll just come from the week for the week.
Yeah, treat you like
there
a rock
go.
Star. Yes. And,
that works too.
Oh, I want to let you know, Carol, I just got a note sent to me. You have some enthusiastic young readers listening to you tonight. They have a little tie to Holly, Branson Phillippe and Addison Phillippe, brother and sister.
Oh,
two siblings.
My
yeah, they are listening to the show tonight, and they said that you sound very interesting. So hey, you're lighting
good.
The fire of young readers tonight. This is good.
Well, thank you. Thanks to them.
I always encourage them to read. So if you can help me get that fire lit, then all the better. But they just shot me a note that they are listening. So and they are enjoying it,
and
they find you interesting. So there you go, Carol. Live feedback.
I it's verified now. I am interesting.
Yes. Eddie and Branson are characters, and you will love meeting them. They were at the convention. They helped us out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But but if you come to Joseph and Beth or something like that, I'm sure we can get them down for that signing.
Cool.
That'll be fun. Yeah. I told you, Holly, you didn't believe me. I said Carol is busy this fall. I mean, you could fill a T-shirt with like a rock band tour shirt with all those dates. I mean, she's got a lot.
Well,
that's impressive. It's all
on my website. So yeah, anybody can go to my website and it'll be updated as things. I probably won't be adding much more, if any, other than what I've mentioned, but my appearances are always on my website.
Yeah, it'd be hard to add more because you've back up the calendar full.
Oh, go ahead.
I said it's hard to add more because you've got the calendar
full. I'm worried about not enough books. Yeah, I'm worried
well,
about not
problem.
Ordering enough books. Yeah, we
that's
can always
a good
order
problem.
Yeah. That's right. That's
a good problem. Well, You have to pray that Ingram actually turns it around relatively, you know, efficiently.
You
never know with them.
I mean, I have to really keep track. I have to keep track
no,
of my
you
book
roll
count
the dice.
Because my book
dice
signings are so close together.
It's good though. You're out there. You're meeting the readers face to face, and I think those are the most effective things for authors by far. Getting out to the live events and doing that, and something I frankly need to do more of myself. I've kind of slacked back on live events because I've been so busy on the other areas. And I'm with you, Carol. I need to get out there and do a few more live events.
Yeah,
those they always perk you up a little bit too. Good energy at most of them. Yeah.
Well, people don't realize how exhausting they really are. You know, a lot of people think, oh, you're just sitting. You know, you're just sitting there. No, you have to be on. And people that aren't in the creative business may not understand what we mean by that. But, no, you have to be on. You have to have the smiley face. And you have to be greeting people. And you have to be standing up. And you have to be, you know, talking about things. And you have to appear peppy. And I mean, it is exhausting. By the time it's over, you're like, oh, my gosh. You know, it's like putting in a 12-hour shift. You know, there's some days nursing that a 12-hour shift didn't wear me out that much. It really is exhausting.
And you're not a celebrity where you have everybody. I don't have a publicist. I don't have a manager. I don't have somebody to load and unload my books and stuff for me. You're doing it all.
That's it. Then the starving artist is a real thing.
Yes.
And we do it all of ourselves, people out there listening, you know, that may think about getting in the business. Yes, we do it all ourselves. And it is grueling, but you have to do that. You have to get out there. You have to show your face. You have to meet your fans. You have to meet people. You have to. Do you see an increase in like your online sales, even Carol? The more book events, the more events you're doing. Do you see an increase in like your sales? You know, in other formats, ebooks and such.
I try to look at ebook sales after I've done an event because I always make sure I pass out my cards. Anybody who buys books will get one of my business cards that have all my websites and a link to my Amazon page. And then I also have the bookmark. I give them a bookmark that has my website on it. And I try to at least look at the ebook sales. And I don't, ebooks aren't quite as popular now as what they once were. So I don't see the ebook sales like I used to, but I sell so well in person that I think that kind of takes care of it.
Yeah.
I have seen this way, and Stephen has talked about that. You know, we've seen it over the years, and that's why we've got to get out there and do more events, but it's hard because, like I said, Imaginarium has pretty much taken my life over at this point, which is a good problem.
Yeah.
But it pulls me away from, you know, other stuff I need to be doing. But we have seen that shift. It is going more toward the physical. The Generation Zs, the Generation Millennials, the Millennials that are on the younger side seem to want the physical book more so than they want the e-books now. And, you know, that's a change because for years it was Kindles, it was notes, it was, you know, all these different, you know, devices they had to read the e-books on. But, yeah, now it seems like people are wanting to actually have it, which it is an experience. It's a physical experience to be able to smell it, hold the book, smell the book. I mean, physical book is neat. But, you know, I still, like I said, I still got tons of books on my Kindle, too. I do both, but I love the smell of the book. I do.
There's something to it. Kindle gives me the smell. There's something to tangibility because, you know, after 2010, you saw the big vinyl surge in the music world where vinyl made this tremendous comeback and is getting continues to get more popular. And I think that the same, whatever it is, the same thing is kind of happening in the book world. I think we're such a digital world. Everything's, you know, so digital that I think people have a little bit of a hunger for the tangible now. And so I think that's factoring into vinyl to printed books. I think there's actually an undercurrent to that gets to the, you know, just the saturation of digital. And I think that's also why I think ebooks have tailed off a bit. So, but it's interesting. Daniel,
have you seen that? I mean, even in you've seen it from the book side, but even in like the cigar industry that you deal with, it obviously, are people ordering more offline? Or are they ordering, you know, more in person, buying more in person?
They're ordering a lot offline right now because there's not enough shops close by to people to be able to get what they want. And I see the resurgence of, like, the mom-and-pop bookstores, the, you know, over the big ones, the mom-and-pop, you know, historic vinyl places and stuff where you can buy new vinyl, but you can also buy the old vinyl like the comic book stores were for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The comic book stores, on the other hand, I've seen them go down.
Yeah.
They're still on a decrease, going out of business and stuff, and that could have been true just because of COVID and stuff like that, or,
COVID.
You know, it could be because of the industry right now.
Uh-huh.
And but like, you know, the cigar shops and stuff like that, I'm seeing an increase in those shops going out there.
Yeah.
And other businesses, because I talk a lot to business people and business books and different things like that all the time. And the number of business books that are being written every month is staggering. The number of nonfiction books.
Well, the younger generation, I feel, are wanting to go more into their own business, being self-employed, I think is a big thing.
Yeah, the millennials, they're not being satisfied with just the pay and stuff like that.
Right.
They want the freedom to do what they want to do. They want the freedom to be creative in the way they want to be creative. They want, you know, the life of being able to, you know, if they want to live in Kentucky or Tennessee, or they want to live in New York, or they want to live in California or Washington, or in another country, they can still do that with and still be creative and be and have a viable business because of the internet and stuff nowadays.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They can have, you know, business meetings and everything and never meet the people in person.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I think a lot of them are, because they're more and more introverted. And we talk
because
about that with creative.
Personally, I talk
too.
To people in like, you know, Great Britain, Germany, Australia, New Zealand, you know, all these different countries and everything. I talk to them on a regular basis that are doing business and they may be doing business with the United States or in the United States and live in another country because
right.
of the fact that
yeah.
they can do this. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I see that with the creatives being the forefront of that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, I can
right.
see that. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I think...
And a lot of it has to do with charitable events and stuff like that that people are doing, starting their own charities and stuff like that for, you know, different passions that they have. Say they had somebody that died from cancer. They can, you know, they may have a passion for that and go out and do a charity
mm-hmm.
for that. Like one of the guys that I know that's in the cigar industry, his daughter has autism. He produced
mm-hmm.
a cigar with her name as the name of the cigar because all the money that he gets off that cigar goes to the autism research.
Fantastic.
Right. That's awesome.
So, that's really cool. Yeah, there's
all
some
right.
ideas. I mean, people out there, you know. The only thing that we try to push is that if you are going to run a business, you have to be your brand. So you do have to be careful about what you post, how you act. If you're doing, like, if an author's doing signings and stuff, you know, Carol, you've done it enough years. You can't sit and look at, you know, down at your phone and not greet
yeah.
the people walking by. You have to make eye contact. You have to have discussions.
Yep.
You have to answer the questions. You know, how do
yep.
you handle
yeah, absolutely.
Stuff? How do you handle some of those individuals that, like, will, like, come to you and say, oh, but, you know, I don't read that kind of material, or I don't really read, you know. What is your response to those that come to you and actually say, I don't really read. I'm not a reader.
That's funny you should mention that, because I was at a signing probably 8 or 9 years ago, and in a town where I went to college, and the college there is was a Baptist university, very, very conservative town. And this little lady comes by my table, she's looking at my books, and I said, well, you know, what kind of books do you like to read? And she says, the only book I read is my Bible. And I said, well, then you probably are not going to, I was writing romance then. And I said, you're probably
right.
not going to like my books.
Well,
at least you're honest, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, my response would be, well, have you read the Song of Solomon in the Bible? there's some pretty sensual stuff in there.
Yeah.
You know, if she reads the Bible and everything, she's already used to, you know, what I write about in my book, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What can you say? You know, what can you say to the people when they say, well, I don't read, and so, okay, well, thanks for stopping by. You know,
yeah.
you can't talk them into it.
Well, that's,
well
that's,
you
that's,
can.
Yeah.
It all depends on how you go about that. If somebody says that they don't read, is it because they haven't found anything that interests them enough to read about it? Or is it because it just takes too much effort?
Yeah.
Because
how much time,
the creativity part behind that is being a creative, Carol. If you've got an audio book, here's my audio book. You know, you don't have to read it. You can listen to it while you're driving.
There you
mm-hmm.
go.
But how much time do I want to spend with one individual person to try to get them to buy one of my books when I've got other people that might be around the table that do read, that do want to buy my books. I don't want to drive those, you know, I don't want to drive them away.
I get that.
If that's the case and everything, you know, don't go to the ones that are the easy sale. But if it's you and that one person standing there, which it happens a lot in some of these things, you've got time to talk to them for a minute.
Yeah.
You know, find out, you know, why they don't read. Is it too much trouble, or they just haven't found anything that really interests them enough to read about it?
Right.
And gave them an alternative to actually looking at the page, studying what, you know, what each word meant, and said, here's my audio book. They may take one of your audio books at twice the price of your book that costs you less money to get.
Daniel, you talk Stephen into putting my books in audio, and I'll do that.
We'll do that.
Hey, I can work on that, Daryl.
We can work on that,
me and you can start working on that here shortly. I actually take care of the audio side there. Stephen's too bogged down. But, yeah, I'm so behind on that. I've got to get back on track with the audio books. But,
that is one question that I do get is, you know, are your books on audio?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of readers that actually only do listen to audiobooks. I mean, I guess you'd call them listeners at that point. There definitely is a market of people that only do listen. So that's something to consider.
I think there's a really good market for like Carol's, you know, like mystery. And all that, I think there's an excellent market for
audio. Oh, yeah, well, it's one of the strongest genres.
Because, my God,
I think
mean, people
sells
books.
Really well. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to talk about the thing that you said to me just a second ago about, you know, getting them all put on audiobook.
Yeah.
I would suggest only putting the first book on audiobook.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know, of a series.
Right.
Put the first one on audiobook, get them hooked.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
If they like that first book that they bought on audiobook, they'll be wanting to read, you know, or wanting to get to find out what happens next.
Yeah.
And the only way that they can get it is through regular printed. That's what they're going to do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I agree.
Interesting approach. Yeah.
You can actually take a reader out of them that way.
Yeah, the only thing with that is,
an audiobook,
But you do have people that only will, you do have people that only will listen to audio. I mean, that's all they do is listen to audiobooks.
That's true.
I know several. So that's the only thing to factor in is which is the better. That's a thought. That's interesting. So, we covered the series, and we've talked about a little bit about your work and talked about your appearances, which are many. What have we not talked about so far that you were wanting to cover tonight? Well, I'll make sure we get it all tonight, Carol.
I don't know. I kind of made a list of things here, but we sort of covered everything, I think.
Yeah,
even
I think
my
we.
Cat,
yeah, I think we've been.
Which
yes,
has
we
run
even
off
mentioned
to the bedroom
your cat.
Now.
Yeah. Your cat's got the headphones on in the bedroom. That's what's going on there.
Yeah, she's listening in there.
I've got one question for you. We were talking about secondary characters. What about the secondary characters to the secondary characters? Whatever you call those people. Is there
tertiary,
anybody in that group in your book?
Tertiary, yeah.
That you foresee bringing them up through the ranks?
Yes.
Ooh.
I have characters new characters that I introduce into each book, and in Witch Hunt, they're one of the contemporary witches in town that owns the magic store, the mythical, the witch store, Isabella. I am bringing her on as I will bring her on in the book I'm writing. If not the one I'm writing right now, the one that I'll be writing about the newspaper reporter. So, yeah, I mean, they might not be in every book, but I keep a running list of all the characters in the whole series. So when I need to pull in a character, you know, be it maybe a police officer that I mentioned in the first book, that I might need to bring him in the third or fourth book. Yeah, I keep that running list, so I bring new characters in each time.
Mm-hmm.
Neat.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, because that's the thing with your story as it develops. I mean, there's such a depth to the town, the ensemble, the characters in the town, and you almost could pull from anywhere for a given story. Like in any book, I mean, a reader could look forward to one part of the town, you know, coming to the front of the stage that may not have been featured in one of the other books. So that's cool. I like that kind of dynamic. And yeah, I hope it goes a long way for you, because it's developing into such a nice series.
I just knew that you had, you know, it's going to be about a city basically, and you may introduce, you know, somebody, but they didn't have any real part in the book and everything. Uh-huh. But, you know, like you're saying, you're going to make them part of another book later on down the road, that their shop and their position in that shop is going to be strategic to the secondary, you know, uh-huh. coming up to the secondary character and the primary character. So,
yeah, I think the mayor that I have in the town, that mayor makes a couple appearances. I don't think I brought the mayor in to this book yet. Just, you know, that's just a character that I can bring in when I need to. And I think that would be a tertiary character.
Nice. Well, here's one, Carol. In the second book, The Coin Collector, brought forward a personal interest of yours, the world of numismatics, coin collecting,
yes.
And you yourself have an interest in that. And are there any other hobbies that you have that you think might be something you draw from for future books? What personal hobbies do you have that like the coin collecting passion that you have? What other ones do you think you might tap into for future books? I'm just curious.
I actually have been thinking about, if I ever do another series, that I might have the main character be a photographer, because I am a photographer. I like to take pictures. To the point that I actually have made a list of possible titles of books for the series.
Oh,
nice. Yeah, because I knew you loved photography, and I was curious if that's where you might go.
What was the name of the – was it the Soul Collector, the one where the photographer would sit there and take a picture of somebody and they would become part of the camera?
Yeah, the Soul Collector. And Sant Booth had one, too. I can't think of the name offhand. That's terrible. But, you take the picture, and then the camera actually absorbs the soul.
Yeah, that would be more speculative fiction, though. That would stray into a spec fic kind of series.
It was a horror movie that I watched, you know, or semi horror.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's interesting. But, yeah, I knew Carol's love of photography, so that's why I was asking that, because she did such a good job
of
drawing.
I see a lot of your pictures on Facebook, and I always like them.
Yeah, they're
cool. A lot of nature, you know, you do the picture photography.
Carol gets out and about. Yeah, it gets out and about, and definitely some good stuff on your social media. Which, by the way, tell us, Carol, how can folks find you on social media? Which are your – I know what the main ones are for you, but you need to tell the audience. What are your main social media platforms, and how do you find you on those?
Okay, well, my website, you can go there and find just about all that. It's carolpre.com, carolpre.com. I also have a blog, which I'm not real good about updating. Stephen knows how much I hate doing blogs. But I have my head to twist my arm to do the blog tour. My blog
is carolpre.com. We kept those to a minimum.
So my blog is carolpre.blogspot.com. I'm also on Twitter, which is at carolpreflattish. And then I guess the main one that I'm on more than any is Facebook. And my author page on Facebook is author Carol Preflattish.
Yep.
So those are my main. I'm also on Instagram, but I'm not on there very often.
Yep. And there are, to my knowledge, you're the only author, Carol Preflattish, out there. There's a couple other Stephen Zimmers out there that actually won. It's a VEM, but the author writes Western. So, yeah, sometimes people get confused and try to find me. But with you. I think you're the only one. So, yeah, folks, if you look up her name, Google her, I mean, you'll find her for sure.
My last name is so hard to spell. That's why my website is just carolpre.com.
Yeah, it's a cool name though. It's unique and like I said, nobody else has got it. So that's I assume a few people do, obviously. But at least no authors.
I'm the last one. No, I'm the last one.
Really?
When my husband passed away, it just left me. He had sisters that have all gotten married. He had a brother that had passed away. And he and I had a daughter, so I'm the last one with that name. I take it back. His stepmother is still living, and she has a daughter with that name, so I'm not the only one. I forgot about her.
Little family lore.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
About that.
That does help.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you're not gonna get people mixed up. Yeah, when you're looking up Carol Preflattish, you're gonna find her.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
You'll know it's me.
You have no need to come up with some fancy pen name. It works. We've only got a couple minutes left. So, is there any last quick questions, Holly or Daniel? You guys want to get in real quick?
Daniel, you got anything?
So how many books are you putting out this year?
Witch Hunt came out in February, and I'm on chapter 7 of my current writing. So I would say there's not going to be any more this year, but hopefully the one I'm working on now will be out next year.
Early, yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like that one will be out probably before next summer.
Progress is. If I stick to my writing schedule.
Yeah. Nice. Well, thank you, Carol. It's been a great time catching up with you. Always good to talk to you. Great writer, great person. And, definitely encourage folks that can make the live events to go meet Carol. And if you can't, then buy her books. They are good. And so Carol, I'll give you the last comments, and then Holly and Daniel, you can take us out.
Well, I want to thank you for having me on tonight. It's always fun talking to you guys. I enjoy it a lot, and I hope everybody will look up my books and consider purchasing.
Definitely. All right, Holly. It's your moment.
All right. Well, give Carol a try. I mean, she's got the mystery, she's got the romance, she's got the mayhem, and she's got the witchcraft. What more do you want, Give it a try. Her books aren't colossal. They're, you could sit down, enjoy an afternoon, have some wine, have some tea, whatever you like, and have a great time. And that's what it's all about, right? So we will join, hopefully you will join us next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will have another great guest. And you all have a wonderful rest of your week, and I'll hand it over to Daniel.
Yeah, first of all, I want to apologize for being gone for so long, and hopefully that will not happen again anytime soon. On top of that, I want to thank Carol for taking out her time to visit with us tonight and to share some amazing knowledge that she has as a extensive writer. If you have a chance, please check out some of her work and see what we're talking about when it comes to Carol's work on how good of a writer and creative she is. And when you are in that writing or creative mood, don't let anything get in your way. Do it and become the best creative that you can be. Until we talk again next week, this is Daniel Dark signing off.